Good evening, everybody. Certainly good to be back again this evening, see everyone that's able to be out with us. Brother Larry, it's definitely good to have you visiting with us again. One quick announcement, reminder before I get into the lesson. I'd like to meet with the ladies for just 2 minutes after the service to talk about material for the next ladies' Bible class. So anybody that is interested in that, we'll meet in the room right back here for just a couple minutes. Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll get into the lesson. As we've been going through Hebrews in the Sunday morning class, I thought it would be good if we start and look at a few lessons, some overall themes and things in Hebrews to tie in as we're going through chapter by chapter. And the first lesson I would like to consider is the subject of faith. Faith is foundational. It's basic to our whole Christian life. Let's begin reading in chapter 11 at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he called to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Here we just see beginning to mention some great characters of faith. And again, faith is foundational to our life as a Christian. How important is it? Well, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we know from Romans 14:23 that anything without faith is sin. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Well, how do we get faith? In Romans, back in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this subject of faith, what is it and how does it apply to us today? Faith, it's foundational. We have to have it. How is it manifested in our life? You just think about several things not related to spiritual matters for a minute. Electricity. Do you have faith in it? If you turn on a switch, do you expect these lights to come on? Can you see the electricity? No, you can see the effects of it, the results of it, but you can't see the electricity. We have faith in it. We have faith when we go home and we turn on the lights, we turn on the TV, we open the refrigerator, the garage door, everything we have faith that that electricity is going to work. Now that's a pretty simple illustration of faith. Let's think of something a little bit bigger. Say you had a piece of metal that weighed between 735 pounds and 970 pounds. That's a big piece of metal. Do you have faith that it can take off the ground and go up into the skies and fly in the skies? That's the average weight of a 747. Do we have faith? That seems impossible that something that big would be able to get off the ground and go at the speed that it does and go from one side of the country to the other. But we have faith. We have faith that that is going to happen. You think, what is faith? The definition in verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as we notice, there is something that takes place with faith. By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Noah moved. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Christianity is not simply a book religion, but inspired words converted into a personal, working, active faith. Christianity is not just book knowledge. It's taking the Word of God and putting that into our lives and making a difference. You think about Noah, and you think about faith, and a lot of these characters, and we'll just look at some of them briefly, a lot of these characters, the things that they faced, nobody had ever gone through before. There had never been a rain before. There had never been a flood before. Nobody had ever built an ark before. Yet God told Noah to build an ark because there is going to be a judgment coming on the world. Noah had faith. He had faith beyond our ordinary day-to-day activity. Year after year after year after year, he preached. He worked on building that ark. Year after year after year, people mocked him. They made fun of him. But he had faith. He was moved by faith. You think about Abraham. Abraham, when God called him, he called him to leave his home country. I want you to go somewhere, and you aren't going to know where it is right now, but you're going to follow me, and I'll lead you to where I want you to go, and I'm going to give you this land, and it's going to be yours. Abraham never got to enjoy that inheritance, and he traveled having faith in God that God would be faithful. He lived in tents. He was a nomad. He was a wanderer living in tents. He left his homeland. He left his family to obey God. Again, where does faith come from? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we see the order in our life as a Christian. We hear the Word. We hear it by preaching or someone teaching, by studying. And then we believe it and we have to act on it. John 17:20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their Word. The only way we are going to get faith is through God's Word, true faith. And the more faith that we want and need, the more time we are going to have to spend in God's Word. And again, it is so important that we have this faith and develop this faith, because it all revolves around the gospel, and we are going to be judged whether or not we obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So God has promised, he's promised to reward those that obey him. He has promised to reward those that have faith. He has promised to punish those that do not obey him. Take in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. How much faith does it take to obey the gospel? We all, I would say everybody would say that they have enough faith to believe and to be baptized. But again, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. And just as the author of Hebrews wrote to the Hebrews to exhort them and encourage them, don't give up your faith. Don't give up your faith and go back under the old law. When persecution and trials and troubles come along, don't give up your faith. Now, I don't think anybody here would go back under the old law, but what's the danger we face? The danger we face is if our faith is not strong enough, Satan is going to pull us back into the world. He's going to chip away on us every day. Is there a relationship between faith and works? Yes, yes, there is. In James 2:20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? If we say we have works, if we say we have faith and we don't have works, our faith is dead. And James says, but do you want to know? You know, I think a lot of people don't want to know that. They don't want to know that faith without works is dead because they are happy just to say, I believe. They don't want to know that, but faith without works is dead. The verse before that, James 19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Just because we have faith does not mean that God is going to save us. God wants us to obey him, but he doesn't want us to obey him again just out of a sense of duty. Just mechanically obey him. If we just went through the motions, mechanically obeyed him, we would be no different than a tree. A tree that every spring leafs out. And then in the fall, it drops its leaves just over and over. It's obeying the laws of nature. It's obeying the laws that God set up. God didn't make us like that. He made us with a heart, with a mind. We have free choice. He wants us to choose to worship him. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to have faith and worship him and serve him and obey him from our heart. We need to fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. In Acts 10:34 and 35, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. So you say, well, I thought you said we should love him and obey him, and now you're saying fear him and obey him. What does that mean? What does it mean to fear God? Well, we reverence him. We respect him. We understand and we appreciate the enormity of the task that God has given us and who God is. God has told us to live a pure and holy life. God has told us to walk close to him, to cling to him. And again, we aren't doing this in a static world, in a vacuum where nothing is going on, because we've got forces pulling at us every day, every hour, trying to take us in a different direction. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. So whatever we're going through here on this earth, these various trials, it's just for a little while, for a short time compared to eternity. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. God is going to test our faith. God is going to test our faith like this gold, where it's going to be heated. We're going to go through the fire. When you test gold, you don't just put a little bit of heat for a few minutes. It's constant heat, hotter heat for a long time. And what does that do? That removes all the dross, all the impurities. That removes anything that is not precious. And that's what God does to our life. Is that fun? It's not fun, not at all. But what does Peter say will happen as a result of that? You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So with faith, we've got to have faith, because God is going to test us as we journey through this life to heaven. And you go back and you think about the Israelites for a minute. When the Israelites, when they were fleeing from the bondage of Egypt, they came to the Red Sea. It was like coming to a brick wall. They couldn't go forward. Pharaoh's army was coming up behind them. How did they get through? How did God save them? It was by faith. It was by faith and their faith in God. And one of the things that I read, it said, with the number of Israelites, for them to cross the Red Sea through the night, they would have to be standing 5,000 wide for all of them to cross through. Now you think about a line of 5,000 people and then deep going back, crossing through the Red Sea. You think about how high those waters would have been walled up on both sides. That, to me, that would be scary. Being in that number of people and looking on both sides and seeing a wall of water. But by faith, they crossed through the Red Sea. God delivered them, and God proved that he was. Now that would be a scary test of faith with water. But you know, the next time they were tested, God tested them by water, was when they were going to cross into Canaan. They had to cross the Jordan. The Jordan wasn't as big as the Red Sea, but it was during the rainy season when it would flood. And what did God do? Did he part the waters and they go across on dry land? No. He told them to take the Ark of the Covenant out, and you step out in the waters. You step out in the waters and then you'll go across. So he made the test harder, and their faith had to be made stronger. You think about when David went up against Goliath. Goliath was a giant. How did David overcome Goliath? It was by the faith that he had in God. How did he have faith in God? Because David said, the Lord delivered me from the lion and the bear. I know he's going to deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. See, God is going to test us. He's going to give us another test that's stronger, another one, and each time, what should that be doing to our faith? It should be making our faith stronger and stronger and stronger, because what's our ultimate goal? We haven't seen God, but we want to have enough faith that we can make it to heaven and see God. Well, what are some of the things that are accomplished by faith? We're justified by faith. Romans 3:25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins and that were previously committed. Our hearts are purified by faith. Acts 15:8, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. We need to have a pure heart. If we want to see God, we can't see him unless we have a pure heart. And he is going to purify our hearts by faith. We're going to be accepted by God by faith. Acts 10:34-35, Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Again, that is faith. 1 Peter 1:22-23, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. With this, we become children of God. We become children of God by faith. By faith. Galatians 3:26-27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Can we be a Christian apart from having faith in Christ Jesus? Verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are baptized into something. We are baptized into Christ and we put on Christ. So this is through faith and this operation of God. Colossians 2:12-13. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So we see that through faith, baptism is an operation. Baptism is an operation. What happens in this operation? God removes our sins. Can you see that happen? Can you see that happen back there in the baptistry? No. How does it happen? It happens by faith because we have faith in God. We see this world that he created. We see the sun come up. We see the birds that sing every day. When the birds sing, somebody told me, you know what they're saying when they sing? God lives. God lives. They're giving praise and honor and glory. Everything we see about us tells us that God exists. And we have to have faith and believe that when we obey him, he will keep his promises. The first part of Hebrews, we read and it mentioned Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. Let's drop down Hebrews chapter 11 and pick up at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having proved something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You go back and you think about faith. And why? You just look at this list of people. You know, I counted 23 examples by name plus the prophets. Why are there so many examples? Why does the writer give us so many examples of these great characters of faith? Wouldn't one be enough? Faith, we all say that we have faith, but do we have the faith that we read about in these examples? Is our faith that strong? Again, you think about what these people went through. A lot of them, nobody had gone through these things before. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Was that the normal military standard operating procedure for taking a city the way they took Jericho? No, but they had faith in God. Rahab the harlot, all of these had faith in things that had not happened before. And we see so many things happen over and over, yet sometimes we're weak in faith. Somebody will lose a house, lose their money, lose a job. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Well, friends, some of the things that we go through, and we do have compassion on each other, but we have been given illustration after illustration for God to lift us up, to hold us up, to give us that faith. These individuals, they weren't just tested in one or two ways, but you look down through this list, you consider the prophets, they were tested in any and every way that you can think of. Any and every way. And you say, well, nobody's been tested like I have. People have been tested, people of God have been tested more than I have, and have risen to the occasion. And God, we should be thankful that we are counted worthy for God to test us, because He wants to remove. Say I had a well-paying job, and He took that job away from me. Maybe that job was what would keep me out of heaven. We should realize that God is in control of everything. God either allows or permits things to happen, or He causes things to happen, because He's sovereign. He's in control of everything. And we see the providence of God when we get down the road. You think about Gideon. If God came up to you and said, I want you to go and do battle against the Midianites, and you're only going to use 300 men to do that, how would you feel? And was Gideon a brave man? No, he was hiding from the enemy. He wasn't a brave man, but God, by Gideon exercising his faith in God, he became a brave man. He became a strong man. It's just like faith. Faith is our spiritual exercise. You know, we could go to a gym and pick up a manual on all the machines and how to use them. We could read that manual inside and out. until we got on one of those machines and lifted those weights and did those exercises, it wouldn't do us any good. And we can read all about these examples that God has given us, these great heroes of faith. But until we go through these things, we don't know where we're going to stand. And we don't know how we are going to be built up. Faith in the unseen caused man to endure. And what was the result of that? He obtained the promise and reward of God. He obtained the promise and reward of God. You know, last year, we went to Virginia to the congregation over there. And when we left, we couldn't see it. We couldn't see where it was. And I plugged in that little GPS, and it told us go this way and go that way. And about 99% of the trip, I couldn't see the destination. We'd go up one mountain and down another and around a curve, and you think you're passing yourself coming back around. We wondered, is this the right way? But we kept following the directions. And when we got to the end, we arrived at our destination. And that's the way life is. We have to have faith in God and follow His directions. We have to have faith, and God is going to build us up and make us stronger. And again, when you look at these examples of faith, and faith without works is dead, so you look at all the verbs that are attached to these events that happens. Subdued, worked, obtained, stopped, quenched, escaped. The list goes on and on. With every example of a person, there is something that he did. He did. Faith, we sing the song. Faith is the, you all know it, victory. If we want to be victorious in life, we have to have faith. Verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Faith is foundational. It's fundamental. We can't make it to heaven without it. We should expect God to continually test us. Our faith should be precious. How precious is your faith? How precious is my faith? Because we all say we've got faith. We'll all say we've got faith. How are we expressing our faith? When we think of our faith, do we have the faith of Noah? Do we have as much faith as he did? Are we moved with faith and fear like Noah? Or do we just get up and go through the day? Today's no different than yesterday's. Tomorrow is going to be no different than today. Do you, friend, do you believe in God like Noah believed in God? Do you believe in God as much as Noah believed in God? Do you believe in God to sacrifice as much as these people sacrifice that we read about? This is a chapter, I think, that we need to keep in mind as we're going through the book of Hebrews. Again, it was written to encourage them and exhort them not to go back under the old law. And friend, we have to have faith to make it to heaven. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we shouldn't measure our faith by each other here. Everybody here, I would say, is an example of faith, because we've all gone through things where God has tested us. But I wouldn't suggest we test ourselves against each other, but against this list of examples in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll be the first to say, I've got a lot of growing to do in my faith. And I think my faith is strong, but when I look at what other people of God have gone through, He is going to keep testing us, just like the Israelites, just like David. Each time that test is going to get a little bit harder and more challenging. And again, what's the result in that? How do we get through that? The only way we can get through those tests and challenges is to draw closer to God. We can help each other, but God is the only one that is going to get us through those. And that's what He wants. He wants to be the center of our life. He wants us to cling to Him, to walk to Him, to love Him. He's a jealous God, and He is going to help us be the kind of person that we need to be. Friends, is there anybody here that has faith but has not acted on that faith? Is there anybody here that needs to be obedient so that they can be baptized by faith into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Or you have sin in your life and you need to confess it and repent of it and ask for the prayers of the congregation? If we can assist anybody this evening in being obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.